Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with a new guest on the show. His name is Luke Den Have. You, or I think a lot of people who are on CEO.ca, follow him on that website under that moniker, Luke Den Have. He is a private resource investor, focuses a lot on individual resource companies, and I've even posted some of his work before under some company interviews where Luke Den has and does regularly share his research with everyone that follows him on CEO.ca. Now, Luke Den Have, I appreciate you taking some time on our website, and I first just wanted you to bring our audience up to speed for those maybe that don't follow you on CEO.ca. Give us a little understanding of the stage of resource companies. Which type of resource companies do you like to follow and do you specialize in?
Thanks, Corey, for having me. Yeah, what type of resource companies I specialize in? I think any company where I can have a true benefit or where I am in a better position than other investors. And that means that sometimes development companies or production companies are not ideal for me because there are mining engineers that can do a much better job. There are geos that can do a much better job. So for me, I try to find things that other people are not even looking at and where I can just understand because of the people or because of the share structure or because of certain reasons that it's the right time to buy stock and to hold it for a long time instead of trying to compete in terms of knowledge on the geo front.
Luke Den, one quick follow-up question then regarding the type of analysis you use. Is it more technical based? Is it more fundamental based? What updates can you give us here?
Well, it is really fundamental and technical too, in a sense. There are several reasons to find a company. And of course, you can find companies because you have a network. Once you have a network, then you hear things and people may recommend you to look at a name. You may have a good broker and he tells you something, or you spot something yourself. And what I find important is to find a change in a company or in an event that changes things, but other people do not realize it. So when a big company or when a company announces a big discovery, everybody realizes this is game on and that may be a good moment even to buy stock. But that's a very obvious event. You also have less obvious events that are still very significant. An example could be Northern Superior a couple of years ago, when I knew that they had all these essays, I knew the history, I knew they had all the projects and with a lot of essays on it. I knew the area well in Quebec. I knew a lot of the company, but they were in a difficult situation. And then Michael Gentile joined the team in 2019, I think. And he did a financing at 9 or 8 cents or 10 cents. And you just know that from that moment onwards, the strategy will change. He financed the company. He will bring more investors, his network, and he will bring a lot of followers. And the company was trading at $3 million. And I knew the projects quite well and the company quite well. So if there was on that same morning the possibility to buy stock at 9 or 10 cents. And now it is trading, I don't know right now, but it was trading at $1.50 recently. So then you have a 15-bagger without a discovery, without too much risk. Because at that point, when he joined, short-term, the risk was, in my opinion, gone. So sometimes you have less obvious reasons to step in and just wait and see.
Well, Luke Den Have, speaking of risks, I know you've been around the sector for over a decade, and you were there at the end of the bull market in 2010, 2011, and you rode the bear market down from 2012 to 2015, learning along the way, and you've had a good run as things have improved over the last few years. So what have you learned? What mistakes did you make as an earlier investor that you've now learned from, and how you approach your due diligence on companies today?
Yeah, there are two things. One, of course, is just knowledge, understanding the business very well, understanding all the news releases and the complete corporate structure and who are the players, who is involved, why are they involved. That's one thing. But once you are there, you really think that you understand the market. I think the biggest risk is that you are too short-term focused. So sometimes you own a very good company, but it's just obvious that the first 6 months or 8 months or 12 months are not going to bring anything significant because they cannot drill because of the season, or there's always a reason why you might suspect that a boring period is coming. And I still think that the companies that you really believe in and that are key positions, you should not trade them in and out too much, or at least keep a very decent position. Because what I once did, or I think not only once, is to sell one of my key positions because I realized that the coming 3-4 months, nothing is going to happen on the ground. And then suddenly out of the blue, a good news release comes out. A new corporate investor came in. And then the stock is up 50 or 70%, and you own it for 1 or 2 years, and you sold it just for a short period of time because you wanted to use that money for another investment. And I think that's also the downside of being a small investor, because you tend to jump from stock to stock to make the money, and the more wealthy investor doesn't really care. I mean, they can park the money here, and they can park the money there, and just have patience. And over time, I learned to just have patience. And also because I did quite well in the last 3 years, 4 years, it helps to have a little bit more capital to deploy, and you can just leave it and just wait it out. Because my biggest gains have been from at least waiting for a year, but sometimes 2 or 3 years, and not from the small trades here and there. So I think a big mistake is to sell when it's becoming boring and you think that the news flow is drying up. I think if you really believe in the position and it's really an investment, I think you should keep it and not sell it.
Okay. And speaking of some of the successes you've had over the years, I know I've heard you speak in other interviews briefly about how you approached, you know, calling the company, getting in touch, doing some due diligence. Could you maybe give us an example of one or two times where you had some success where other people were not really following the story, but you kind of smelled something was going on? And then, you know, how that developed into a success story for you as a smaller retail investor.
Yeah, I think Orion Resources is a good example because Mining Book Guy, also another CEO user, told me about Orion in Orion Resources, that is, in 2016. And I knew it from my due diligence in 2015, but never really followed up anymore. So I tried to reach them, and the company was kind of small at the time, a $3 or $4 million company. And it was very difficult to reach the CEO, and Mining Book Guy gave up on it. And I think I tried to call them 20 times. And I think after 20 times, they thought maybe it's less time consuming to just take the phone call and answer this annoying Dutch guy. And what happened is that a really interesting story was told about Finland. At that time, Finland was not really popular under the junior mining companies. Only Agnico was active there with their mine. And Orion was staking a lot of ground. They found a lot of interesting signs already. I mean, they bought a project from a Australian company, and they staked a lot of ground. And they explained to me why they think it was very prospective. And also that they were still trying to clean up the structure, because they were exploring in several countries before and didn't really work well, I think. And they wanted to clean up the market by really trying to get, not rid of all the investors, but there was a lot of selling ongoing. And of course, you need to get through that period. You see that with juniors all the time, that sometimes it just takes some time before all the sellers are gone. And then finally, you can see some upside again. So the stock was trading sideways, around 12 cents or something. And I realized that what they were doing was early stage still, but had the right people involved also in the background, people helping them and giving them some advice here and there. And I started buying it in the market. And only half a year later, it went from 10, 12 cents to 50 cents. And about a year later, they made a discovery. And it went to $3. So sometimes it takes efforts by calling a lot of times, or by doing a lot of due diligence, or by looking at the story several times, and then only after the third or fourth time realize that it's really significant. And it needs a little bit of luck, of course. That's an example where it took me a lot of effort to finally get that story presented to me as a retail investor. And based on the story, I decided to invest.
Let's come up to today's time right now. Look, the fact of the matter is you look into resource stocks and it's selective still, especially in precious metal stocks when it comes to what's running and what's kind of trailing the markets and even the underlying metal, especially when you're looking at some of the smaller exploration plays. What are a couple companies that have your attention right now that you think are doing the right work?
For sure. The company I just mentioned, Still Orion, they still do a great job in Finland. And the share price has been coming down for 2 years now. And I think probably because Corona last year, they couldn't do much in the field. News dries up and then all the excitement is also, it's difficult to get excited for a company that's not announcing a lot of drill news. So I think Orion is a little bit of a sleeper right now that will wake up again. And another much smaller company is LittleQuest. LittleQuest was a diamond company between 2016 or 17 and 2019. And they didn't drop those claims, but they changed focus and they acquired a very interesting asset in Northern Ontario. And for me, the criteria with LittleQuest is they have the right shareholders. Really, like 60 or 70% of the stock is owned by a very selective small group of institutions and wealthy individuals. And they have a very technical team. Of course, everybody's talking about team all the time and structure. I think LittleQuest has those attributes. But they're just getting going. And of course, it will take half a year to a year before results come out. Because I think you have to position yourself early and not only when the drill results are about to be released. So I think LittleQuest could be something with a little bit of patience, but it may pay off in a year from now when it becomes more obvious if those projects really have the potential we think it has.
So Luke 10, when you're focusing so much, it sounds like on, again, these exploration plays, how do you trade around a certain share price movement? It sounds like you're a bit more of a long-term holder, but we've seen a lot of stocks run higher into drill results. Sometimes drill results satisfy that run. A lot of the time they don't. Do you trade around these type of events, these key catalysts, when it comes to drill results?
Depends on the company and depends how close I am to the company. And close I am does not mean that I'm an insider, but a company like Cartier, I talked about Cartier a lot. I think they do not get the value they deserve. And I think Philippe, the CEO, is very, very honest to people. He's very open. Everybody can approach him to get some context about the company and about the work that they are doing. And I don't want to trade companies where I have a really big position and trade around them and bring them and then also create a lot of selling pressure on the stock. So I wouldn't do that too much. If it's a company that I just follow from a distance and I just have a small position because I think they are a real drill play and they may or may not hit and I'm not too close to the company or at least friendly with the CEO or something, then sometimes it's good to sell 50% before the drill results come out. Then at least you have your investment secured and then the upside is still there if they hit. Because in most cases, I assume a failed program. In the most cases, a discovery is not happening as you may hope. And then it's better to have some stock off the table. So if it's really a binary play where the drill hole is really going to tell you up or down, then I think sometimes it's good to sell some and just keep 50% of the position. And because you need some luck there too, and you get very unlucky a lot of times. So you also need to be smart about it. In the case of Cartier, that's not so important for me because they really have a lot of value already secured in the company. So I do it often to companies where I think there's maybe it run up too much already and there's a lot of downside if one bad news release comes out.
Lupton, you mentioned Cartier Resources there, and we've talked a little bit about the earlier stage exploration plays. But with companies like that, where they're a development stage company and they have resources in the ground, and maybe they've got a PEA, they've at least got a resource estimate, and I know you follow some of those companies too. Do you ever look at the disconnect between, you know, where a project's economics should be valued and maybe where the stock price is, and try to get some value there, or how do you approach investing in more of the established development stage place?
Yeah, I'm not investing in the really established, I'm not often investing in really established development plays. With Cartier, there's a very obvious, in my eyes, a very obvious disconnect between the real value that they have and the market value. But I think it's also difficult to compare valuation in the business. If you look at Rhyolite, it's a pretty new company. They bought a project in Suriname. It went from 5 cents to $1.50 in a little over a year, and their market cap is 128 million right now. And I have no idea why. I really don't understand it. I really believe they have great targets, and they may have some historic holes. And I mean, there's probably a lot of good reason for it to go up, but I cannot understand why it traded 120 million. Probably because they have good shareholders. They are not selling. They have a good story, probably. But they are twice the value that, of Cartier. And Cartier has 2 million ounces in the middle of Quebec's mining center. So how can you explain that? It's simply, you cannot explain it in the valuation. That's why this market is not just technical. It's not just a technical story and then compare this technical story to the other technical story. There's a lot of storytelling, narrative. People want to be connected to some CEOs because they have a certain track record, or they are just good promoters. So it's very difficult to put six companies next to each other and say, why is this one 120 million? And why is this one 60 million? And why this one 10 million? I really believe that a company between 5 and 6 million right now with a pretty interesting project can trade at 50 million if some new people come in, if Ross Beattie steps up. This is pretty extreme, but it's just that a new name in a company can change the market cap from 5 million to 50 million. So it's not just the project. And in Cartier's case, it's a bit sad because they don't get the credits so far. But in most cases, that will change at some point if they can really prove it to the market and change the narrative.
All right, Luc Den Have, thank you for joining us on our show. We're definitely going to have you back on and probably dive a bit more into some of the companies that you're following and some of your insights in these companies, because I've really appreciated the work that I have seen and that has been shared with me. Luc Den, thank you for your time. We'll chat again soon. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Sure. Thank you. Have a nice day.